and welcome to Parade of Dicks. I am your host, the Dick Finder General, Lucy Buttons. And I am here with my co-host and co-producer, Jonelle.
Yay, what's up?
Not much. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. It's just the two of us. Does that feel weird?
We did this already. We're cool.
I know. But you're like switching modes really fast right now so we can sneak in an ep.
Yeah. It was a busy day.
Busy day. Okay.
Busy day.
So Dick disqualifier today. People who don't read, however, specifically to people who don't read any factual information about news and politics. Because with what's going on right now, there are so many news stories that don't actually tell facts and pertinent information. And though I'm not like reading, you know, the Wall Street Journal and the New York Times every single day, I do actually try to get real information. And so I don't want to be with, basically it goes back to, I don't want to be with a moron.
I wholeheartedly agree. I can even take it a notch higher. So reading news on Facebook,
there's a hole in my straw, by the way. What kind of bullshit is this? My Flex straw has a hole in it. I gotta suck so hard.
You're used to it. But you ruined my train of thought. But my train of thought is like,
sorry,
reading stuff on Facebook or on Twitter or on BuzzFeed or on Gawker, let's not consider that as true highest form of reading. Like, what I want people to read are actual books.
Yeah.
Actual,
do you care
news
if they're on a Kindle?
Because
I see books all around your place.
I know. I used to care about space. So I had all of my books in a Kindle. But now that I do have more space, I've switched. I like people who read actual books. Paper.
They're really heavy, though. I read paper books. I'm trying to read through my bookcase for the same reason, to try to thin it. But they're heavy to carry around in my handbag along with everything else.
Some books are heavy. Most of the stuff that I read aren't, because I'm not that rich. So I do paperback instead of the hardbound. But a Kindle is heavy as well. But you can read through your phone, I guess. So for me, it's just more of the fact that...
If my phone wasn't dead, it's always dead.
Have you ever seen that a fridge magnet or saying where if you go home with a person and they don't have a bookshelf, don't sleep with them? I think I heard that when I was
something like that.
Yeah, I'm sure it's by a famous author or a famous philosopher, but I forget. But I think I heard that when I was in high school, and I kind of took it to heart.
Mm-hmm.
So when I first had my...
Because you have so many people to choose from that you're able to just...
No, because
oh, no bookcase. I'm out of here, lady.
Totally the opposite. The thing is, like, I have a very, very, very seldom opportunity that people go here to actually view my domain.
Uh-huh.
I can't fuck up. Every single thing needs to be on point.
Ah, so you keep books around for that reason. Have you read any of these books?
I've read every single one of the books except for the one that you left.
Okay.
Because it says the worst case scenario, survival handbook for dating and sex.
I thought you could use that.
I think I need to read this. I'm going to read this right now.
I thought we could use it on the podcast too. It might be funny.
All right. I'll read this when I'm in the shitter and then give me...
Well, then I don't want to ever touch it again. It's a lot. Is that where all of your books have been?
Not all of them.
Yeah, you're a shit reader.
Yeah,
a nasty habit.
Hey, I like reading wherever I can. So
okay, how long are you in there for?
Hey, I poop quick.
What if it's a good book?
there was one time that I was in the middle of like two very action packed chapters of a book that I
thought
I was
reading. Was gonna go a different route.
Yeah,
action packed. Shit.
You cannot have an action-packed shit. That is disgusting. But I was in an action-packed chapter. And you remember when you stand up and it's you've sat down on the toilet too long, you stand up, you have pins and needles in your feet? Happened multiple times. But anyway, yes, I agree with the reading. It shows a lot of things. It shows the taste. It shows the level of intellect. Although I don't need a partner that is super smart. I just want somebody that's curious and wants to learn stuff. You don't have to read the same books that I do. You don't have to have Atlas Shrugged.
What if all they read is graphic novels, aka comic books?
Oh my God, I'm having a hard on right now.
That's my jam. Nasty. Please don't have one of those around me, A. And B, okay, but... I know it's your jam because you like nerds, but it might, if that's the only thing they read, fine. That doesn't really show a level of maturity that you just described.
It's totally fine. You need to get to know the person. If that's the only thing that they literally read, that they have never read any other book that doesn't have a picture on,
yeah.
Maybe that's disconcerting. But maybe graphic novels are expensive. So maybe those are the only things that they collect and display. They might have stuff on their phone or they borrowed from a friend, that is totally fine. But okay. Again, just I need a little bit of curiosity about life and improvement of your brain, regardless if you know what? Yeah, if you read self-help books or if you read Chick Lit, that's...
Self-help can go either way. That might be
at least
a warning sign.
It might be a warning sign. So yeah, that's good
You should
too.
Get some self-help books, actually.
Isn't this the worst case scenario survival handbook, dating and sex?
Someone gave it to me, so that tells you what they thought of me. The last book I read, I just finished Great Expectations. I didn't have to read it in high school, and my friend Teddy gave it to me a while ago. Wasn't my favorite about a third of the way in, but after that, I put it down for a little bit and went back to it and finished it.
It's also hard when it's books that have had successful movies from. It makes it a little harder to read through the book because you have certain images in your brain. Gwyneth Paltrow, Ethan Hawke. It's one of those good renditions where I initially saw the movie and I was like, oh, this is a really awesome movie, really unique. And then until a friend told me like, yo, you do know that's a book, right? It's like, my bad.
So then did you read the book?
I did. In high school. It's okay. I always love those.
It was translated?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's like I love classics. I mean, the last book that I read,
that's what I was gonna ask.
A week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago, I reread real quick. It's a short book. It's Cyrano de Bergerac.
Uh huh.
It's basically, if you've seen Roxanne with Steve Martin,
yeah,
that's it.
I know.
That's it's my favorite. It's one of my favorite books. It's okay. Up there. It's probably top two or three. Flowers for Algernon.
Because she loves the guy with the big nose.
Yeah, but because
he's hideous.
And he was the ghostwriter for a handsome dude.
Aw.
Yeah, it's fine. I mean, I love it. In the book, it's super, super, it's a lot more sad.
Yeah.
Because Cyrano, they were old, so the handsome dude died. The girl was heartbroken. Mm-hmm. So all that Cyrano did was read the weekly gazette to her. Until one day, 50 years down the line, 30 years down the line, walking to her, a pot with flowers landed on his head.
Mm-hmm.
So he was kind of dying for some brain injury. And then along that line was when he kind of semi-spilled the beans that he was the one writing all those things. All the things that she fell in love with the handsome dude was him. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't fun because both of them were kind of sad. Well, my interpretation was like, in the end, they were both sad.
Are there ever... That was my thing with Great Expectations. And I asked Teddy why that was his favorite book. And it was kind of like unrequited love type thing. But are there any stories where a handsome man falls in love with a not so attractive lady?
Sure there is.
I don't know if there is.
I'm sure there is.
Like, really try to think about it. I don't think there are. I think the misogyny runs deep.
You know that, you know, the mere fact that we don't have stuff off the top of our heads with regards to it, it's a bad sign.
Yeah.
But I'm willing to be 100% sure where it's like.
Okay, well, I want you to report back.
I will report back.
Yeah, please do.
I'll make even classics too.
I was also thinking about fairy tales this week. I don't know why. Or what got this going through my head. But, you know, I really loved Cinderella as a kid. And that's a really terrible story to tell little girls, right? Because they're hoping for their Prince Charming that's going to take them out of a shitty situation where they're treated horribly.
A fairy godmother, yes.
Right. Mm-hmm. But inevitably, the fairy godmother was the the way, but not the thing. So I think we need to show more little kids Little Red Riding Hood, because that teaches a better lesson to look out for the big bad wolf. And with everything that's going on right now in politics, after the Me Too campaign and Harry Weinstein and Kevin Spacey and Louis C.K. Now Al Franken, like I feel like we maybe need to. And can we talk about Roy Moore?
You have to tell me who Roy Moore is.
Oh my God, I'm gonna get it wrong. Did I need to tell you to research this? In Alabama, he holds an office. Google it really quick because I don't remember what it is.
Is this the congressman?
And he's like, you can see him on TV, and he's like shooting guns. He's like holding guns like he's going to shoot him at these different rallies and whatnot. And he's been accused by multiple women of having the news is calling it sexual misconduct, but he's a pedophile.
Is this okay?
And he's running for office, and the Democrats want him to pull out, pardon the pun, and the and he's saying he's not going to, and the Republicans have been justifying his actions because they said that the children were consenting, and it's been all over the news. It's actually, you know, all of the stuff that's been in the news is a big deal and has its own reasons why it's important, but to defend a pedophile who is a politician and they actually use the Bible to defend it. I posted a link. Maybe you're not following me closely enough on Facebook. So tell me what office it is, or did you just lose it?
Yeah, he's a chief justice of a Supreme Court in Alabama.
Yeah.
The name is familiar because there was an SNL skit over the weekend about this.
I'm sure there was. Yeah,
and he's not a Democrat. He's a Republican.
No, I said he's a Republican, okay, and the Republicans are defending him. The Democrats are asking him to pull out of the race.
Yep.
Because of these multiple allegations, and he's refused. And he's a nut anyway. And then I read today, and this I don't know if it's a fact or not, that his wife actually said that they care more about fetuses than children, which, you know, kind of goes along with the whole party, but is especially abhorrent in what people are saying.
It's a unique time in
a pedophile would be a dick disqualifier, yeah, really easily.
I guess you wouldn't be my friend if you were like, I think he's fine if he's a pedophile.
Yeah,
it's insane. There's certain things
totally
that
insane. Well, Charlie Sheen, did you see about Charlie Sheen?
No, I don't like the news.
Do you remember the
80s
Corys? I know I don't like the news because it's sad either, but the 80s Corys and the one died of drug addiction, basically. Mm-hmm. Well, the other one that's alive finally came out and said that, one Corey died, and Corey Haim finally said that Charlie Sheen had sex with him when he was a kid and they were filming the movie Lucas. So nobody's surprised because Charlie Sheen's a dirtbag, right? But because of that, it's kind of been brushed under the rug, and there's a whole apparently secret pedophile ring, which is why, like, Princess Diana allegedly died, and then there was a TV show host in the UK that recently died, and they were putting up monuments, and it was like such a big deal, and now they've pulled them down because it was confirmed that he was a pedophile.
There's so many things that other people that's the reason why most of the time, although I am kind of, I'm a lot shy, might not seem like it, but I'm more identify as being an introvert.
Mm-hmm.
Is because, or despite being an introvert, I'd rather have everything out there. We do this podcast. We post some stuff. When we talk to people, we're mostly honest as respectful as we can, but we're trying to be honest in both being telling our stories, but also asking what we want. We want to be, because I don't want people to get confused, like, oh my God. So for me, 20 years from now, somebody said, oh, John L. is such a douchebag. I was like, yeah, sounds about right. They're not going to go, holy shit, this dude did that? No, because I never hid anything in my life, or I didn't hide something that will be considered as something that should have been forewarned. Like, but these things, like the Louis C.K. thing, hit me hard.
I know you love Louis.
I love Louis.
I love Louis too. The bag of dicks. I mean, hello.
Like the and it reminded me of a.
I can totally picture him doing that.
Yeah, but that's the thing. He may not have explicitly described the stuff that he did to those women where he masturbated in front of, which, for the record, is totally not cool, regardless of what they say.
Can you tell everyone on the subway that? Because pretty much everyone in New York City, every woman has witnessed that.
But those are mostly like mentally deranged people already. This is seemingly like, for the most part, a functioning human being. But
I think even he would argue that.
Yeah, he's also a comedian. Yeah. So he's not all in there though.
Sure.
Yeah, but it's sad because I already know that for a certain level he is not the greatest person.
Right.
And yet this surprised how horrible this is. Hey, you could have. We might get hate mail about this, but for me, there's a certain level where you can have awkward advances or aggressive, sometimes maybe crossing the line advances, but you have to ask sometimes. Like, mm-hmm. You have to ask as nicely as you can. It may not come across that way. You have to ask if certain people might be into you as well, so you can do certain things. So you have to communicate that. So on that level, we kind of, all right, fine. But you don't ever fucking mask. There's certain things that you don't do in front of people, regardless of whether they say yes or no, because that's not cool. You're workers.
Wait, you're saying even if they say yes, that's not true.
No, but the thing is, in that.
Oh, because he's the boss.
He's the boss. They were working together.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't. There's a certain level of. That's why sexual harassment in the workplace is always a topic, because subconsciously or consciously, you impede or impose your dominance over a person one way or another. Like, maybe they didn't say no outright back then because maybe they thought it was a joke. Maybe because they were fearful of losing their job.
Yeah.
Maybe they were fearful that we'll never get another job in Hollywood or writing for him or his friends. So there's so many reasons.
Well, and women don't always feel like they can say no.
Exactly.
And in a situation where someone's masturbating, even though it's an offense to our eyeballs, there's not a physical danger. Yeah. Whereas if you say no and you're in a private space with someone, it can become physically dangerous because men are inherently stronger than most women.
And the record that he said that there was like one time there was two of them. So like two of the women came in and they were already, he was already masturbating. He asked, yada, yada, yada. Maybe he was sick. Maybe it was whatever. But
I don't know about the phone thing though. Is it really against the rules to masturbate while you're on the phone? Like what if I was masturbating and someone called and I answered?
Well, as long as they don't. One, if you did that for other people, like
I mean, I'm making a joke out of it, and I don't mean to make light out of their situations. But honestly,
I have a couple of points that I want to raise, and
like I've answered the phone while I was having sex years ago. But
as long as the person on the other line doesn't find out, I guess it's fine.
But is it? So that's an interesting thing. Like, is it really then?
I think.
And then
it
where's
is.
The line? The line is moving. And it's good, it needs to move, but it's like, it is a little bit confusing because the rules that existed, you know, 10 years ago don't exist anymore.
Actually, you're correct, because one of the points that I wanted to raise was, I hate the fact that when we hear stupid, super weird things like these, I hate the fact that we say, at least it's not this. Like, that was insane.
Absolutely.
Like with Louis C.K., it's fucking insane that when she was when he was quote unquote apologizing, which he didn't actually really do.
Okay,
I'm actually really sad about that. He is a wordsmith; that's why he's a comedian. Like he,
I mean, I read it as an apology. I'm just going to be honest. I know people were really upset about it, but it read like an apology.
It read like an apology, but he. And again, I'm a fan. I'm a fan.
Yeah, I know you are,
and I love his work. But I read it a few times, and I tried to be in his, give him the benefit of the doubt. If you write a multiple page, quote unquote, apology, you should at least have the words "I'm" and "sorry" there. There wasn't. He had People that admire me. I'm disappointed that people that admire me will find out this, yada, yada, yada. I am remorseful. That's the closest that he said, but there was I'm sorry. No, I'm remorseful. I have guilt.
Okay.
So that's the one thing that I, when I looked at it and I read the comments
He say he regretted?
No. He regretted that he, yes, he did say regret.
He's regretted and remorse to me equals sorry. But, you know.
Yeah, but. So that's one point that we have to go through the exercise of, oh, at least he said this, at least this person did not.
Well, people are trying to justify, which people will always do, and you can't. And every single person has said something or done something problematic at one point or another, unfortunately, you and me included. Yeah, like
definitely. But so that's my other question, though. And you know, maybe it's different per person, but when do we separate the person from the work? So
right. And is there ever redemption for some things? And where is that line?
Oh, that's unfortunately because the I feel that because the attention span of society nowadays is so short.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure next year he'll have this I'm sorry tour or like.
People have said that, but like, look at what's happening with Kevin Spacey. They're reshooting a movie. That's going to cost them a ridiculous amount of money. And they've canceled a TV show and blah, blah, blah. So there might not be any.
It's early. 2 years. It might, right now, 2 years might sound so long, but in reality, 2-3 years, 5 years, that's not
It's been
not
like
long
30
time.
Years since that happened. Though.
Oh, yeah, but the.
So that's the thing, too, is like.
It's the news now. And that's.
I don't know. Except for with Roy Moore, I totally feel differently.
No, so there's certain things that are illegal.
Kevin Spacey's was illegal too because it was a kid. But also, where was the kid's mom?
Yep.
I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. What Kevin Spacey did is wrong, but where was the kid's mom? Because why was a kid allowed at an adult's party, period?
Yep.
Let alone being alone enough to end up in his bedroom, et cetera, et cetera. Like there was multiple places where things went wrong.
Yeah, and that's the thing.
You know.
Like the favorite argument. So should we still listen to Michael Jackson songs? It's tough.
Right.
It's tough. Like I love fucking ABC and I love, you know, I Want to Rock with You.
Yeah.
I love The Girl Is Mine with Paul McCartney, but it's... I haven't really enjoyed any song after Man in the Mirror, after all those allegations.
Mm.
Try not to listen to him
not
anymore.
Really allegations.
Yeah. Well, again, he was not convicted. That's a problem. R. Kelly, fucking Ignition Remix is my karaoke song.
Ugh, fuck R. Kelly. He was a pedophile too when he married Aaliyah. Fuck,
it was on video too.
Everybody knew that shit forever.
Oh shit, that's great.
And people forgave him after that, which is bullshit.
And he still has a tour.
He's a scumbag.
Yeah, he's still on a tour
now. He's nasty. He's a nasty human being.
But still, you still have millions of fans and getting millions of money.
But that's because our culture loves celebrity.
I mean, again, sometimes either when do we separate it or when do we not separate the work from the person?
I think everything's going to change. I think our society is like in some ways imploding in order to shift it about.
Yeah. I mean,
let's see a matriarchy come in.
I think all things are
men
pointing
are
towards. Oh, yeah. But here's my question, though. I hope that.
But it also makes men pussies because of it.
Yeah. But the tide right now is to you're any person who goes up to like to justify certain things too hard on the male side of things or the abuser side of things,
yeah.
You are in it for a world of hurt. There's Facebook and Twitter. You're going to get demolished by social media. My worry is because so many people are coming out and so many people are getting accused. So many people are either ignoring or doing the Louis C.K. thing, getting ahead of it, fessing up. I don't want to normalize this. I don't want to get used to. I feel that we're
to call out culture.
Yeah, I don't know to call out. I don't want people to start saying like what I said. It's like yeah, that's about right. Like if somebody says
this is normal.
Exactly.
To
so there's so many
it's starting to be.
Yeah, Sylvester Stallone was out.
What?
He was one of the people that was mentioned that had abused a person or sexually harassed a person in the 80s.
Mm.
So there's so many people that are falling off the cracks.
Every man has sexually harassed someone, and a lot of women have too.
And it's seriously sad that that's a real statement. And I actually
I mean, you look back at 80s movies, and people are like there's sexual assault left and right. Yeah.
Back to the Future. I saw that last year, all three of them with a friend. And then I look at it like, oh my God, it's like three movies all about rape.
I watched The Heathers for the first time and it was like three scenes of it.
Hey, I fucking love The Heathers too. It's a really good 80s
movie. I never
movie.
Saw it as a kid, so I was like trying to catch up. And
it's rough.
I don't know. But I also don't think that, you know, I think that we have to be able to forgive some things with enough time. I'm not talking about rape or pedophilia. I don't think there's a time when
there are things that
are forgivable.
Unforgivable.
Ever.
Yes,
yeah, absolutely.
Yes.
But I think, you know, I think there are some things that we have to be a little reasonable. And I also think it's unfortunate being a woman that this is the climate that we live in and work in and have to survive in every day. But you have to sort of know that that is our reality still. And hopefully it will change in the future and be prepared to deal with it regularly, because the younger generations, you see, they're sensitive little flowers and they can't handle anything, and
everybody
and
has
everyone's getting babied
trophies.
And everyone's calling out and everyone's doing all this stuff, and it's creating so much divide and so much unrest in everyone, and it goes across cultures and generations and everything. And I think that's a little bit what happened that created the political environment that we're seeing now, was because of racial tensions over the past decade, really sort of hitting the fan and people standing up, and which they need to.
Yeah.
But I think that's where the people that were all the way on the right have swung back now, right? Instead of finding like some centered territory. Yeah. and that would be fucking awful if that happened for what we're talking about, because the swinging right would then be basically like what you see in Middle Eastern countries where women have absolutely no rights.
Yeah.
And so we have to sort of like, it's unfortunate and I feel terrible, but we have to sort of like keep what we have, move as much as we can, speak out about these things, share our stories, but also, you know, it takes a while to have progress, and I want that tide to shift, and I would love a matriarchal society that I will not see in my lifetime. But if we were to see it in the next couple of years, the pushback, I think, would be dangerous to our lives.
It's going to be, I get tying it back to our Dictus qualifier of reading. That's why it's important.
It's such a complicated issue. I really can't say like everything that I think, because we would be here for days.
But I think it's like, that's why I think it was serendipitous that we picked, and we didn't plan it, audience, we didn't plan it, but it's serendipitous that we used a reading, because it's a very, being knowledgeable about certain things, not only from your side, but from
both sides,
an outsider's perspective as well, alternative source of truths as well. Like, you know, you can have so many perspective in certain things that will educate you and how you will move forward, because there has been a lot of revolutions happen.
Mm-hmm.
We have so many hashtags, from Black Lives Matter to hashtag Me Too, hashtag Not All Men.
It was all women before it was not all men.
Yeah, so there's so many movements.
Yeah.
And all of them has a great core. I think every movement has a good essence inside them, except for the KKK ones, where it's like blatantly like stupid. But maybe there's a fraction there that they feel that that's their truth. That's their truth.
They feel that it is. But yes. So that's why we can't be on either side.
Exactly.
That's why we have to be in the center. Uh-huh. That's why there has to be conversations to try to find some common ground, because that's really what a democracy is supposed to be about. It's finding a common ground.
It's building together.
Yeah. That everyone can kind of come together on that issue, and then...
At this point, I don't like that most people in any situation, political, familial, in a socioeconomic sense, where in the office, everybody, more and more people are having this crab mentality where you just want to be a little bit above than everybody else. But instead of bringing people up, you pull people down so that you can have, or you can be at the same level,
which is another form of bullying. And that's the thing about it, is like, I don't know, there's middle ground. And even with call out culture, if it was an illegal activity such as we've been talking about, you need to press charges.
Yeah.
And I'm going to get on my soapbox for a minute here. Like, I had that really unhealthy relationship, which had emotional abuse and all different sorts of things that are, some are illegal here, some are illegal in other countries. And I went to court 1,000 times for it, and I will continue to appeal because you have to make sure people have records. You have to file the restraining order. You have to call the police when they send you a text and they're not allowed. You have to call the police when you're assaulted, when you're sexually assaulted, when you're raped. You have to go to HR. You have to stand up, because that's the only way that anything will ever change. The laws are so far behind.
Yep. And I know it's, and that's a thing. I know it's hard because you can't just say it.
Yeah. It's even with social media, even with all the backing you get from everybody, that's bullshit. You can't just say it. You need facts.
Exactly. You need records. You need
proof, and we need legal records for the future.
Yeah, because I and what I wanted to stress to you and everybody else, I know it's hard. You're the one abused. You're the one harassed, and you're the one who is being inconvenienced, but you're going to have to do extra work. You know, the other person that is doing this is not caring. It's like a knee-jerk reaction to
them.
What's
going on with his life?
He's totally just like, fine. I don't care. All right, I have a restraining order. Okay, fuck it. I have a record from HR. They're still not going to fire me, yada, yada, yada. I have like two more strikes to do. I know it sucked. The system has holes like that. But that's the thing. If you want change, you have to work.
Yeah,
it's and some, because sometimes you
and
know,
it's looking out for the next person.
Yeah, perfect.
Like, now that guy can't get a firearm. Okay, so there's one step. There was a woman after me that he did basically the same shit to. She got a restraining order, so there's that. Now there's two records. So if anyone's smart enough to search their online, and I did. I met him on OkCupid years ago. But I looked him up at the time, and you can look up someone once you get to know them well enough, or maybe even before so, if you're really like concerned about that, as everyone kind of should be. Mm-hmm. I'm not much of an internet stalker for my dates, but
that has to be part of your,
but it might have to be part of your thing. And if it is, and then someone before you did the work and filed those things, you could save someone's life. Honestly, 90, I forget the stat, but it's like 98% of deaths are domestic, homicides are domestic.
Yeah.
It's like some crazy, it's definitely in the 90s, but I don't know the exact figure right now.
Sad, but I mean, that's our.
Wasn't supposed to be our podcast, though, so we can't finish there. We got to do our updates.
Okay, quick
don't
update.
Try to get out of it.
Shit. All right.
We're gonna pivot. You got laid.
Yes, I did.
You say that like, yes. Come on.
I'm very
You
happy.
Haven't been able to get a date. You got a date. You got laid.
Yep.
More than once.
More.
You said you didn't sleep at all.
Nope.
You were up all night.
Yep.
You were supposed to come to my show the next night.
Yep.
You didn't make it. Oh, I'm sorry. We got held up.
We did.
Okay, so?
It was great. So, full disclosure, this is the first time in my entire life, in my 18 years of life in this earth, that I met somebody for the first time, went out on a date for the first time, and then went home with them on the first date. So that's a milestone for me. And I think
You get a bell for that. Or like a
I'll put the rap on there too. But I think the lesson here is all the things that we've talked about the past year, all the things that we've been practicing or doing recently.
Where I've been correcting you.
Correct, yeah. So I've been listening. I've been listening. And the more that I got out of my head and just had fun, because short story about this person, I was extremely nervous meeting this person. One, I really think, so we're recording this mid-November. I've never had matches on Bumble or OkCupid for months and months and months and months. Mm-hmm. Maybe I've had like 2-3 messages.
Oh, I know. Cuffing season.
It's cuffing season.
It's a real thing.
It's a real thing.
This time last year, you also had someone you were boning regularly.
But this one was, I met her IRL.
Right.
So, still. So this one is like, I've had.
Don't talk in shorthand, by the way. I'll punch you.
Okay. but so this one was from OkCupid. So there's a few people that I've already met that I've connected, and it's really good. So that's already 300% better than the past couple of months. But this particular person that I met, my God, I was.
How old is she?
She's on the young side. She's 26.
Okay.
She's also a full-time artist.
Uh-huh.
Kicker. Full-time model. So that's
what kind of artist?
Contemporary visual arts.
Okay.
So she's had installations, been in multiple art Basel or Art Basel, so whatever. So it's the Miami thing. That's it's okay. Very, very for the up and up. It's really good. So she does really, really good work. But beyond that, before we met, my hope was she actually read my profile, because on her profile, she was 5'10". And I couldn't, I was at that point in the
and
week.
And you're how tall again?
5'5".
The way you say it, I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's fine. But I've always been okay with my height.
Right.
I've never made it an excuse that I don't have a lot of stuff. It makes it harder for sure, but
sure.
I just, at that night, I did not want to see that look that I see in some of my dates where they look at me. It's like, ooh.
Yeah,
I read through your profile, but I kind of missed that you were like, whatever. But that's apparently she did. Apparently she did. We had a good time. We had.
If they have that reaction, by the way, they should buy you dinner.
That's true, but I mean, yeah, we'll never let
people. Because you put it out there,
yeah,
so.
Yeah. But yeah, we hung out. We had a really good time. There was a moment.
You found a lady you could climb.
Yeah.
Just like you wanted.
And it wasn't like, it didn't feel that she was just out to bone. So, because there was a time that I thought that she was going to get rid of me because she invited her friend.
You went to her place?
Yeah.
Okay.
But the night was long, but we started really, really early. But in the middle of the night, like, we met at 6:30, around 7:30. She kind of dropped like, oh, my friend is having a hard time. I was wondering if she could join us in our night. Like, so I thought initially there was
weird on a first date. I do not approve.
Yeah. So there was a couple of minutes there. I was like, ah, okay.
Or maybe you were going to have a threesome and then the friend wasn't into it.
Oh, I should have thought about that, but my brain was like, oops, all right, I think this is my exit. But luckily, you know, a friend of ours, Carl, another friend of ours, Cassandra, was out seeing a show literally the next street over. Mm. Totally unplanned. So I was like, all right.
Together?
Yeah, we hang out all the time.
Okay.
So we said, all right, you know what? Tell your friends to get with my friends so we can be friends and we can do this every weekend. So cool.
Cheese ball.
So we went there. Grabbed some drinks, saw a weird band, got some more drinks, went to a dive, got some more drinks, had a shit ton of fun, no expectations, just have fun with your friends, don't even look at them as a real date, and things eventually worked out. We just found a lot of things in common.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, a lot of drinks were in the system.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it was the first time that, you know, somebody actually was like, you, when I
who put, made the first move?
She did. I held her hand, though. We did our usual, I have a thing for photo booths, so we did a photo booth thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, in
who
a photo booth.
Who doesn't love a good photo booth?
Exactly. And then you're going to have to be close. And then, you know, I held her hand because I love holding hands. She didn't pull away. Kind of good. Kind of late in the night. You know, peck in the cheek, pick out a little bit, but a little bit her initiation. But I think the clear cut delineation that I had a chance was I wanted to put her in an Uber to get her home.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was closing the door to her Uber, she got really, really angry that I didn't hop in with her. So
she got angry?
Yeah, it's like, you're not going to come in. You're not going to drive back to my apartment.
Not angry.
Yeah, kind of cute.
She protested, but a little bit. Wasn't angry.
Yeah, but yeah, okay. It was good.
And you saw her again?
The day after, yeah.
I am so proud of you.
Thanks.
And you're still talking.
We're still talking. She's coming over on Sunday.
So you weren't sexually disappointing to her?
So, for the record, and this is going to be TMI, for people who don't want to know TMI stuff, I got thanked.
Face.
I got thanked for my gentlemanly prowess.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
She thanked you.
She really thanked
me. Did she write you a thank you card?
No. She told me to my face, like, one, thanks that I wasn't a creep, that I didn't look at her just because she was a model.
Okay.
Yes, I didn't show, I guess. But two, that I was there. I didn't push. I didn't like rip her clothes off the first time.
Aww.
I was very gentlemanly. Up until when we were in her apartment, I still did not assume that anything good. Was going to happen. I said I was just, I needed a glass of water because mm-hmm. I was really drunk as well. Mm-hmm. I needed to pee. Mm-hmm. And then if she's sleepy, you know, I can, there's no problem calling an Uber home too. So it was good. It was
good for you. I'm very happy for you. Thank fucking God. It had been so long. Do you want to share how long it had been?
No.
Exactly?
No. No. It's very, very sad. Very sad.
I heard that you told this story to someone, but I didn't know the time, but I think I maybe know just because like we always tell each other.
It's multiple months. So yeah. Let's just go there. So it's I want to give off that vibe that we might never meet again.
So now you got some sanity back though. Yeah, that's great.
Even my office mates thought that I felt I was
you seem in a good mood. You seem more calm, relaxed this week.
More calm. Yeah. Doing a little bit more work. But that's the thing. It's like sometimes you just need.
People need to be fucked.
One or two breaks in.
You just need to be fucked.
A little bit.
Everybody needs to be fucked.
And I promise.
You see a crabby person, they're not being fucked right. I told you that.
That is true.
You see that old couple and someone's being cunty? Yeah. They're not being fucked
right. By my time. But like I said, like we do have our next meeting schedule, our next date scheduled. But. Things can explode tomorrow or she might ghost me forever, but at least I'm okay. I had a couple of days where I felt that, like I mentioned in our previous podcast, I just want to feel like I'm a person and it's tough. And it's tough just keeping, you know, it's great.
Go to therapy.
Yeah, but it's great hearing it from friends. It's great hearing it from family, but sometimes it gets old.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you want to unbiased third party opinion on how you are.
Yeah.
Physically, emotionally, how you smell, how you taste, it just feels good if there's a semi-stranger or a new person that will come into your life and say, like, you know what, you're not that fucked up,
you're not disgusting,
you're an actual person, that's fine, it's good enough, and then let's build from there next. Yeah. You know, the next time it'll be better.
Okay.
I wanted your updates too. I know you're happy as well. I just want to make sure that we share everybody's good news.
Well, I got a dream job.
There you go.
So I'm pretty excited about that. That was my week. I've been interviewing for a couple weeks and keeping secrets. And I quit a shitty job right after I started it that just was not a fit. And one thing I've been learning is that it's not always about finding the right person or the right place or the right home or city or hobby even, but it's about eliminating the ones that are wrong for you.
Correct.
So that was a lot of what, you know, dating has been for me. And unfortunately, even my long-term relationships, but also in jobs. So I got this amazing opportunity. I'm so stoked. I'm also super intimidated. But that happened. And the guy I'm dating, it's still going well.
There you go.
I will say that relationships are a lot of work because he's great. He's really great. He's more great than most people. Just in every way, he puts up with all of my bullshit and accommodates me to no end. But like, it's also exhausting, you know, because everyone is annoying.
There's always a part of that person that you will always have to just work through. And like a third party observer.
He caught me rolling my eyes the other day.
And what happened? It was like a 6-hour discussion because you rolled your eyes?
Well, no, he was like, oh, you can be particular, but I can't, but, you know, it's true.
But it's good. I mean, it's good that, one, you call this guy that you're dating. It's a relationship. It's not just a guy that I'm dating.
Yes, it's a relationship. He's my boyfriend. Ugh, I hate that word.
You just say it's a real relationship. It's not one of those things that may be misconstrued as fleeting, but with regards to the job as well, I love calling a job the C word.
A career?
Career.
Yeah. Did I say that?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
You said this is the career that you wanted. It's a path.
Well, it's not the career I wanted when I was a kid and moved to New York City, but it's like one of the best moves that could have happened for my career.
So you have development. And sometimes, again.
Let's just hope that they don't discover this podcast.
That you.
In my double life.
No, I think they'll be like even more. Fingers crossed. They'll put stickers on their wall.
No.
Is your workplace going to stream this?
They won't be streaming this. No.
What if I go there and I just put on the podcast real loud?
No. A couple of people do know I have a podcast, but I didn't tell them what it was. A couple of people know that I have, you know, a separate life.
I'm teasing
you. They don't know the extent of it.
I'm teasing.
Although they probably witness my filthy mouth. on a daily.
Oh, at least it's like in person, so at least they have some calibration. But I'm teasing you about this being on like streamed on your workplace. But I myself, they do know that
your coworkers listen to this.
No. I told them not to.
I thought Carl did.
No, but he's not he's a friend of mine. We don't work together.
Okay.
We work in the same company, but we don't work together.
Right. Could this get you in trouble at work?
Nah. I mean, like I said, my managers and everybody knows. They've seen the photographs that I took. So if they're okay with that.
Right.
They kind of don't have any purview with regards to anything extracurricular. But My thing is, for the people that I directly work with, for the people that I actually give work to, assign stuff to do, where I need a certain level of authoritative respect.
Mm-hmm.
If they hear that.
You're talking about dicks.
Dicks, golden showers.
I was just going to say
not having sex for like, I think that's going to lose the respect.
I think if they find out that you didn't know you could flush toilet paper until like a week ago, that's
I don't flush
respect.
Toilet paper when I pee. That's from the women's side.
But you're a boy. There's one other thing I want to talk about as we're leaving. I want everyone to remember that I have a monthly show.
Yeah.
in Bushwick at Dromedary Bar. It is an awesome little tiki bar. The drinks there are absolutely delicious.
Bartenders
such a great team. Bartenders
are great.
Fantastic. The food is really good.
The food is really
they
good.
They have buffalo wings now, which I'm all about. So
the
that's
fries.
What you catch me doing afterwards is sucking on some wings.
Oh, and the fries.
I know you love the fries. So that the next show is going to be December 20th, and it's a holiday show, and I'm debuting a new act, which is an homage to my love of balls. So I just want as many people as can make it to come out, check out my new act.
Check out Lucy's balls.
Yeah. I'm going to diddle them and all sorts of shit. I'm going to teabag myself. It's going to be a good time. So December 20th, it starts at 9 p.m. at Dromedary Bar. And that's our zode for today.
That's our zode. Thanks, guys, for listening. Remember, paradeofdicks@gmail.com. And see you in the next
time. Share it with your friends.
Share your friends.
Yeah.
Share love. It's the Brooklyn way. All right.
Bye.
Bye.